Welcome back.
It's yet another moment to ask the pastor. So please, the lines are opened. You could give us a call now. So we have some questions coming in already. Shalom, sir. My name is Sister Ijoma Precious. I have a question to ask, sir. Is it good for a pastor to stand on the altar preaching to members that you can wear trousers, fixing of eyelashes and makeup and all manner of things in the house of God? At the end, the pastor will tell everybody that all of you is already in heaven. God bless you, sir. I am an online member in Lokoja. Shalom.
Well, that is the another serpent speaking. You know, that spirit started from the Garden of Eden.
Okay.
God said this. Serpent is saying, no, it will not be like that. So it is wrong. It is wrong.
Okay.
God bless Amen. You. Don't All say right. anything and don't accept anything that is contrary to God's commandment or instructions.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, more questions coming in. Shalom, man of God, I want to know what's happening to me. If I had a dream, I can't remember it. Before, I used to have messages through dreams, but now I can't remember any of my dreams. I have prayed over it, but no results. God said His grace is sufficient for me. Does it mean the grace didn't cover it? From Vivian Kingsley, Abuja.
When God said His grace is sufficient for you, that means He's telling you that you should not be bothered whether you receive those messages or not. That's what it means. That you should just depend on His grace. That your faith should not be built on the revelation that you receive. That's what God is telling you. And maybe you are putting too much faith on it. So He withdrew it so that you will walk by faith and not by those revelations. So if God Himself tells you His grace is sufficient for you, then just relax like a baby in the arms of the mother.
Amen.
God bless you.
Okay, thank you for that, sir. Brother Christian from Holland. God bless you, Brother Christian. You're on air, sir.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom to you, sir.
Shalom.
I have a question about the field. I hope you can permit indulge me in this question. In the fulfillment of the field, you thought of that the seventh field is fulfilled for the sixth one. I was just wondering, is there a precedent for this in scripture where the seventh one happens before the sixth one?
Okay.
Let me understand what you mean. That the seventh seal.
Yeah.
The seventh seal is Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, where it is open and there's silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And that I said it is fulfilled before the sixth seal.
You said it. I recall you said in order of fulfillment.
Yes.
Seventh one,
of course,
before the sixth one.
Yes. And what is your question?
See, there's a precedent in scripture.
I listened to your teachings and I listened to Brother Graham, but I tried to take up time to read this myself and I was a bit confused. And that's why I said, if you will permit me. Looking at the sixth film, in my opinion, the emphasis seems to be on the field in which we find in Revelation chapter seven, from verse 1 to 3. Because when I was looking at this, in the description of Revelation chapter 6, it seems to fit the activities in the sounding of the trumpet. So I was thinking, at least from what I understood reading it, that the emphasis on the sixth one was the ceiling actually. Furthermore, you told us that Revelation chapter 10, verse 7 is the culmination of all things, as described in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. So then I'm wondering how you can go back to the sixth seal after the seventh trumpet has sounded.
No, I want you to note that. Watch it. Please just keep hanging. The sixth seal, verse 12, correct? Of Revelation chapter 6.
Just a moment. I'm going to open that. Revelation chapter 6, yes, verse 12 indeed.
Now he said, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake.
Yeah.
And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood. And the stars and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind.
Sorry to cut you short, but if you go in Revelation chapter, that sounds very familiar to Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, and Revelation chapter 8, I think from verse 7 to 11, actually, those descriptions seem to, that's why I say it looks like the emphasis, at least from what I understood, and so please correct me if I'm wrong, it looks like the emphasis on the sixth one was basically on the ceiling, and then on the seventh one, it's now the fulfillment of what was described in that sixth one.
I am looking at the sixth seal. You are not talking about the fulfillment of the sixth seal. Maybe let's go straight, irrespective of what I have taught before. Let's look at it now. Now, this is the sixth seal. By the time the sixth seal is opened, now we are seeing that by what we see there, it is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
It is the day of the Lord. It is Christ coming to take over the earth with his bride for the millennium.
Hallelujah.
Okay. And that's why I'm saying, because if you go to Revelation chapter 8, which is when the seventh seal was opened, and when I read, for example, verse 7, and all the way to verse 12, and if you look at verse 12, because of the sun being darkened and not giving back, and then the star falling, and then it seems to fit what we have just read in the sixth seal.
No.
I think what you are saying is making sense. But catch it here, that the coming of the Lord, you know, is not just one day, 1 hour coming. It comes with an activity that we have made, and that is the day of the Lord, the judgment. It comes with the sounding of the trumpets. Remember that it is not just the trumpets angels that sounded. Now, you will notice that in that same chapter 9, the sounding of the trumpets continuing, chapter 9. Now, by the time you will come to verse 20 and verse 21, after all the shaking and all the judgment that came in, something happened.
And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues,
yes,
yet repented not of the works of their hands,
yes,
that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk.
Now, verse 21 is my emphasis.
Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts.
Despite all that.
Yeah.
Now, then we go to chapter 11, when the seventh trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
Verse 15.
And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever.
Now, is that not the sixth seal?
Because you have told us that very recently you said that when the seventh trumpet sounds, that's the culmination of all things.
Yes.
So
that is the end of the whole judgment, and then eventually Christ comes to earth now and the millennium begins.
So if I understand this correctly, after the seventh trumpet sounds, then the sixth seal is now ignited. Is that what you say then?
I said that the seventh seal opening begins the judgment, begins the day of the Lord coming. Which
was it, the seventh or the sixth?
That is the beginning of the seventh seal being opened in Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. Remember that the seventh seal is open. Then the preparation from verse 2, the angels, for the trumpet angels now take position. Because the seventh seal is open, There is silence in heaven for a space of half an hour because it is now preparation for
judgment.
Judgment, the day of the Lord, which is what culminates to the seventh trumpet sounding. And remember that it's not just the seven trumpets sounding, we also have the seven vials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to come to that. That was my next.
They are all part of the judgment, everything coming together that form what we know as the day of the Lord. By the time that is the judgment upon this earth that now eventually ends with Christ coming and to take over the whole earth, which is the sixth seal. The sixth seal is a judgment seal.
Okay, pardon, as a student, I'm just trying to ask questions.
Keep asking, keep asking. It helps me too, so that I know how to make my presentations.
And then, so if I go back to the sixth seal, and that's in Revelation chapter 6, just a moment, please.
From verse 12.
And the sixth seal.
Revelation 6, yeah. 12.
Verse 7, there is some judgment that's supposed to come from verse 1 and 2.
Okay.
Verse 3, he's telling the angels to hold on and hurt not the earth, nor the sea, and also somewhere it says they should number. I think that's verse 4, actually.
The judgment that we see that the angel said, that the Lord told those angels to hold on until the sealing of the 144,000 takes place. It is the judgment that comes from the seven trumpet angels. So before the sound, he seals the 144,000. There's a period that is the gospel coming to Israel. So in fulfillment, the sealing of the 144,000 takes place. Then Revelation chapter 11 also is fulfilled. The two witnesses. Before you now come to chapter 8. So that's why we say they are not chronologically placed. The book of Revelation is not chronologically placed. You have to place them according to the divine agenda. So the Jews, because the gospel will go to the Jews, and even the Antichrist will manifest, and that great tribulation that will last 3.5 years takes place. It's at the end of that tribulation, according to Matthew 24, that these trumpet angels begin to sound in Revelation chapter 8, chapter 9, and then chapter 11, verse 15.
Okay, permit a slight diversion. So within the context of what you just explained, what does Ephesians chapter 1 verse 10 happen then?
Let me read it. Can you read it for us? Ephesians chapter 1.
Okay. Yes, I'm almost there.
Can I go ahead?
Okay, we will read it. We can read it.
That in the dispensation of the fullness of times,
yes,
he might gather together in one all things in Christ, mm-hmm, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, mm-hmm, even in him.
Mm-hmm. What's your question?
So I'm just wondering, where does that happen within the context of this?
The gathering is going on now.
A few sermons you preached a few weeks ago. I think
the gathering of all things in Christ.
Yeah.
The gathering of all things in Christ, because you will notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 15. Now, verse 14 and 15, so that you get the picture.
Okay. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, mm-hmm, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named.
The whole family in heaven and earth is named after him, because he has now become the Father of the new creation.
Yeah.
Now the same thing also in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. We read it from verse 12 just to get the picture.
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son.
There's a kingdom of his dear Son.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins.
Now watch from verse 15.
Who is the image of the invisible God?
He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God.
The firstborn of every creature.
Now this firstborn of every creature is the new creation that God is now recreating. A new family, yes.
For by him were all things created.
Now all things are created now by him.
That are in heaven.
In heaven.
And that are in earth. Visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him.
And for him. Does that answer your question?
Yes, that does indeed answer my question. As I said, I was just studying on this. I'm taking your teaching and that of Brother Branham, but I was doing this on my own, and then I thought it was a bit confusing.
That, is my own contradicting that of Brother Branham?
No, indeed, not that I can see, to be honest. but as I said, I was just doing this on my own, and I was wondering if there was a precedent. That was why I started with the first question.
Okay, no, there cannot be a precedent. The whole precedence that we have in the Bible at all, we only have a precedence of that lets us know about the homegoing, about the rapture, and about what happened before judgment. And that certain people are taken away from the earth before judgment comes, like Noah, like Lot, and leaving Sodom, and now the disciples of Jesus Christ, you know, are leaving Jerusalem before judgment came to Jerusalem, and now the church. We go before the tribulation will strike.
Okay. I'm very grateful for your answer. I cannot guarantee that there will be no further questions on this issue.
No, you can. You have feel free. And am I speaking with Apugo?
Yes, sir.
I guess indeed. As much. God bless you. God bless you.
Have a nice day, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Goodbye, sir.
Yes.
Thank you so very much, Brother Christian.
Yes, sir. Have a nice day, sir. All
right, you. Sir.
God bless you, sir. Okay, more questions coming in. Good evening, sir. I am Sister Nyan Dimo from Kefi, Nasarawa. I used to be very prayerful before, but now I can no longer pray and study my Bible the way I used to do. I need your help, sir.
This is... You want me to help you? Or you carry your Bible and hold it? Or you open it now? Or you put your head down? I keep reading until I tell you to stop. The fact that it's easier for you to stay on your social media, that is the reason. It is your attention too much to your social media, Facebook, and whatever it is. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus Christ says so. You are giving too much attention to the things that feed the flesh. And the flesh is getting so fat. And the spirit is starving. But when you face your spirit man, the flesh will go down and the spirit man will be strong. You are weak spiritually because you are not feeding your spirit man. So go back to studying and give less attention to the social media and things that don't add value to your spiritual life. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much, sir. We need such an admonition in times like this. My name is Joseph from Kaduna. Sir, is it right for a Christian brother to wear cap and enter into the house of God? I mean the church.
See, 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yes, sir.
From verse 3.
But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ.
Yes.
And the head of the woman is the man.
Yes.
And the head of Christ is God.
Yes.
Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head.
Now that is the church order the Apostle Paul has put when we come together for public worship. Not only that, when praying. So that includes even your private prayers. When you're having private fellowship with the Holy Ghost. It's wrong for a man to cover your head according to the ordinance there in the Bible. And it's wrong for the woman to uncover her head when you come together, according to the Bible. So I think that answers your question.
Yeah, sir, let me, you know, it's funny, sir, because I'm just reading through and I met a message believer, a sister that attends Grace and Truth some weeks back.
Yes.
And she said, I saw her with a veil on her head. So I was surprised to see a message believer veiling her head. So she said, okay, the Bible did not say cover your hair, but your head. And now, yeah, it's saying that if a man covers his head, that means, and she was trying to say the covering is the hair. So she was even against the veiling. She was just putting it on because her hair was rough. She says the covering is the hair. So they say if you cover, if you have your hair as a woman, you don't
now,
have
you
to
know,
cover
I have
anything.
Had such argument. And very frankly, I have tried to reason with them. And it doesn't make sense to me. Because this is natural.
Yes, sir.
The hair is natural. So why will Apostle Paul then put it when praying or prophesying? It does. People just willingly, you know, it's a spirit of religion.
Wow.
You know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, if, how can he tell, okay, then Apostle Paul will have just simply said, men, don't cut your hair.
It's even funny, sir, because you know, even for the men, he says it's the head. That means a man should not even have
hair. So the man should not even have hair because some hair will cover your head. So it just doesn't make sense. Well, whatever it is, you know, let everybody believe it as this. Our own responsibility is to give interpretation as we understand it.
Amen.
God bless you.
But it's not wrong, apart from praying and prophesying. For
no,
a man
no,
to
it's
wear
only
cap.
During corporate service,
okay,
worship service, and when you want to pray.
Okay.
But the rest, you know, the woman's hair is part of her beauty.
And the man can wear face cap.
And anyway, the man can wear not only face, including head cap, anything at all. I don't know why you want to face cover your face. I don't know. Whatever you put on your head,
okay,
does not matter at all. The woman can put, you know, you can remove your cover. It is only during worship. Not like some holiness believing churches, 24 hours, the woman's hair. I don't know where they get that teaching from. When it is clear, when praying or prophesying.
Okay, thank you so much. All right, thank you so much, sir. We have more questions coming in. Brother Elisha from Delta State, Nigeria. God bless you, sir.
Good evening, sir.
God bless
Shalom,
you.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom. Yes.
Sir, please, I have two questions to ask, but one may not be question as per se, but the first one is in Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11. I'm asking this question based on the teaching you gave that we are not supposed to command God, and it's true. But there's a scripture I read there, Isaiah chapter 45, verse 11. When Isaiah was prophesying, he said, the Spirit of God was saying that you should tell them that you command the enemy.
Yes, sir.
So is it that God that is telling people to command him, or Isaiah is saying something different? So I don't understand that aspect too well, sir.
Isaiah 45, verse 11.
Yes, sir.
Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me.
When God says, command ye me, you have to understand such scriptures, you know, reference to your knowledge of who is speaking.
Yes, sir.
Now, you also know that the name of God is reverend.
Amen.
Okay.
Now, what he's saying is that his identity is reverence.
Okay.
Is reverence. Now, somebody who is your Lord, will you order him the way you order your staff in your office, your subordinates, and your children?
No.
So you can now understand the context that it is written here. When he said, command ye me concerning the works of my hand, command ye me. What he's trying to tell you is, make reference to it, refer to it, that he has made a promise. So make him know that because of this promise, he has to answer you.
Mm. Okay.
That is faith in action. Okay. It is written. That's what he's saying. Every time, Lord, you said it, and I know you will keep it. And because you have said it, Lord, do it.
Okay.
That is the approach.
Let me just ask this one as per se. In line with my former church before, I've been in a church where I don't know anybody because any pastor that bears the name Moses. I've never been in a church like that before. So I had a revelation in my dream. In this my revelation, someone took me to a big auditorium and he pointed the auditorium to me. and said, this is where Pastor Moses will be. And I said, eh. Then he took me to another auditorium that is smaller than that one, that is bigger than the one he first showed me. And he said, this is where he will be. And I woke up on the gym, I was confused. So I asked somebody, then in my former church I was going to, he spoke to me and said, maybe the person that found that particular church was Moses. So since then, I was like a bit confused. So I don't really know now. And I found a Moses that I know, which I'm following now. So I don't know if there's any significance or meaning of such dreams, sir.
Yes. What God uses such dreams is to make you take seriously what I am preaching. So that what you see me do in this bigger auditorium, when you go, when you start your own smaller one, because it will always start small before it goes big. When you go, so that you will do take the same pattern in terms of doctrine and what we stand for. That's all. That's the message God is giving you.
Okay. Lastly, may I not waste more of your time because other callers are still calling.
God bless you.
I was the person who called last week.
Yeah.
When you referred me to ask my mother
if he was dedicated to
ask my mother
the womb.
As per
okay. Somebody called like that. Yes. So what have you asked your mother?
I went there. Ask. I don't know that she was even there. She said nothing like that. She did not know anything. And me, I know maybe because I've heard it from several sources. As in you are this, you are that. But I don't know if she's deceiving me or maybe she does not want to
Well, the essence is to call your attention to the fact that God is interested in you and give heed to serving him, to the admonishment to serve him. You have heard from me, you have heard from so many other people, so it's a confirmation to you. Whether your mother does not want to talk about it does not change God's call upon you. Okay, God bless you.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll take a short break on this note. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay tuned.